And on the WTN Health Watch, eating French fries, fried potatoes, and hash browns more than twice a week doubles the risk of death to people over the age of 49.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on.
In the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the study looked at potato consumption in 4,400 older people over the course of 8 years. The study's authors are quick to note, however, that unfried white potatoes are a relatively healthy food, and that boiled, baked, and mashed potatoes, even potato salad, were not linked to an increased risk of death.
I'm Scott Carr. Throw Scott out in the cold. Throw him
no
out.
Coke.
I don't hear that. I want him scattered, smothered, and covered.
And don't give him his French fries.
And peppered. You know what I'm going to do with that report?
Go get some fries.
I'm going to Waffle House. Get me some scattered, smothered, covered, and peppered.
Put some Tony Sacheries on it.
As I understand, it was a potato famine that killed people. Not scattered, smothered, covered with lard, Tony Sachery, some pig feet, grill some liver. And sometimes I like to take a cream base and put it right over those. Delicious. Delicious. Delicious.
If I had to choose, I love French fries. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I can eat buckets of them.
In fact, can I have some fat music just for a moment? Just in case Marty's still listening, I'd like to chase him off. We used to have Fat Man music.
Yeah, I can never find that.
You know, we could find it. I personally like to go to Red Robin. You ever been to Red Robin? You don't have to do the fat music. It's not where you're distracting me and I'm fat. I like to go to Red Robin because they have unlimited fries. As fast as you can eat them, they keep reappearing. It's like manna, deep-fried manna from heaven. Oh, I blasphemed Marty.
By the way, can I interrupt my fat bit just to throw Marty out in the cold, as a listener suggested? Throw him out in the cold. Even the listeners, they don't want to say goodbye. They want to throw him out in the cold.
Get him out.
No
coat.
Without
him to the cold.
Without his
don't
pious cross and his jewelry no and his coat. Bumper stickers, throw him out.
There you go. That's fat enough. So anyway, I like to go to Red Robin because it's unlimited French fries. And they're crispy on the outside, but they're soft and moist on the inside. It's almost like somebody deep-fried a mashed potato. So what I do is I bite the potato, the big fat fry, in half. And then I just get the crispy tip off. And then I suck the soft potato out of the inside. And then I save the flavorful deep fried crispy outside for the chew.
By the way, in that hung jury in Philadelphia, they have now requested 2 episodes of Fat Albert as they deliberate.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm
no,
of course
don't do that, man.
Of course I'm kidding. The newsman's
done.
Right away, he's like.
I was getting ready to Google that.
No, but as much as I love French fries, I got to tell you, I think one of the great delights of my life, like there's a lot of, Jesus is going to be cracking up when he meets me. I often say this, you know, the more I eat and so on and so forth, you know, they're probably getting a little bored in heaven. He's like, oh, I got a guy coming. He's not. He'll be here in a little bit. You're gonna like him. But I will. That'll be one thing I'll tell Jesus. I'll say, man, let me tell you something. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. I thank you for all my pets. I loved hash browns, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed them.
Oh.
If we don't have hash browns in heaven, can I be in charge of hash browns? I'm going to go find, you know, 5 fat cooks that used to work on Earth at the Waffle House, and we're going to be scattered, smothering, and covering in heaven. But, I mean, seriously, as much as I love French fries, I take personal offense to that story for attacking hash browns.
Yeah.
In any form, I love hash browns. And may I add, the more burnt, the better.
Oh, yes.
Having said that, my cholesterol and triglycerides would like you to know it's 1108. At the big, huge, oh my God, he's coming towards me, W.
Information fueled, opinion driven. This is the Michael DelGiorno Show, Super Talk 99.7.
Go DelGiorno! Why are you looking at me that way? Hey, Mandis! Mandis, come here for a second.
I'm just curious how you think the show is going so far. We got the tragic news. We lost a listener, Marty.
I saw that.
Yeah, because I was describing something evil that somebody put on the shooter's Facebook page. I think in some way the not living in a Christian bubble offended him. I was just trying to make the point
that what you were doing,
spiritual evil exists.
What you were doing was you were explaining to the audience the evil that was on this guy's Facebook page. You were not talking about how you believe in what this guy was posting, but more that this is what's out there. So I got
Can the radio station sustain its ratings and revenue without Marty?
I think we're going to be okay.
All right. Are you pleased with the show so far? That looked like a very disgusted look you gave me.
You were screaming into the microphone. I could hear you all the way down the hall.
I was singing my song.
I heard.
Why doesn't the Dan Mandis show from the Dan Mandis Facebook page on the Dan Mandis Facebook station or heard in Pahuski, Sandusky, or later today in Erie?
Sure.
Maybe D.C., Dallas, who knows where you are? How many shows are you going to do today?
I only have one show today.
Oh.
But you know,
you must be beside yourself with boredom.
In the last week.
What are the most shows you've done in a day? Have you actually talked longer than you slept in this particular?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There have been days I've done morning drive, and then I did my midday show, then I did afternoon.
So why don't you have a song? That's my question.
I'm not that creative. If somebody wants to write me a theme song, I would love to.
Dan Mandis! He's on Facebook and the radio! Dan, man, are you recording this? I'm in the pocket.
Take two.
I like Dan's music. It was In the City with the Eagles.
In the City.
That's a great song. To be, and then I changed it for whatever reason.
Oh, you did? What is it now? Well, now you just do that like, kind of like a high beat thing.
Yeah, the whole point was I wanted to get to the content really quick.
Yeah.
So people hear opening theme
songs. As much as I'd love to hear you go on and on about yourself. And I do, on and off the air. There's a reason I brought you in here. All right, let's real quickly, quick pro quo. Yep. Greatest radio program director you've ever met?
David Hall. David G. Hall.
Bingo! Mine too. All right, and my mentor, I might add. Second greatest. I mean, how freaking far down do we have to go before you say me?
Michael DelGiorno.
Too late! All right, anyway. Now, ask me, quick pro quo, who's my favorite program director I ever worked for?
Favorite program director
you've ever worked for? Dan Mandis. See, I didn't hesitate.
Well, you didn't ask me who
you suck. Marty, I agree. I'm no longer serving Jesus. I'm done. All right,
But you didn't ask me who my favorite talk show host I've ever worked with was.
Yeah.
We never really interact as talk show hosts.
Actually, we really don't. That's true.
People don't realize this. Off the air, 99% of our conversations are program director conversations.
Yep.
Which I thank you for, because it allows me to still have that fulfillment. But you are, in addition to being my favorite to work for, which says something about your style and who you are as a person. And now it's all clouded because we're friends. And and I actually think you're actually physically attracted to me, but I've never brought that up on the air. But no, you're also one of the smartest I've ever worked for. All right, so I'm looking at the ratings of Fox.
Okay.
All right, so we look at 7 o'clock, which is Eastern time, which is really 6 o'clock. I don't even know why they, you know.
Right.
Include that in prime time. I'm going to say prime time is 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and 11 p.m. because I think prime time is central time, you know, 7 to 9 is the bullseye. And because of the prevalence of 9 o'clock news and certainly 10 o'clock news, I guess we could extend it all the way to the Carlson Tucker repeat at 11, but I won't do that because it's a repeat. So let's look at isolate 3 hours, so just justifying that.
Okay.
All right. So here's Fox. Now, I will say this up front, and this is the only thing I'm going to lead the witness with. I thought it was a very interesting observation I had over Megyn Kelly. I think Megyn Kelly is doomed. And I think Megyn Kelly is doomed for leaving Fox and going to NBC, a mainstream network. And I don't think it has to do with Megyn Kelly's presence on Fox necessarily, or even her attacks on Trump. I think it has to do with nobody really views ABC, NBC, and CBS News as news anymore.
I would agree.
I think that's the problem. Well, all right, so here's somebody whose equity was on an all-news station going to a network where the equity is entertainment. All right, that's where if I had known Megyn Kelly, I would have first said I can't stand you, and I thought you were despicable in your treatment of Donald Trump. I think you're in love with yourself, and I liked you way better with long hair. That's what I would say first. Then I would say, this will be the biggest mistake of your life. You will enter absolute obscurity. And if you do the things that worked where you used to be, where you are now, you will fail even quicker. And I think that has all come true.
Well, do you know why my own two cents on that is remember, her presentation on Fox was much more casual. She could have and show a lot more personality.
Nobody viewed her as Diane Sawyer.
Right. So now it's all these taped episodes and all these interviews and so forth, which is fine. But what I think a lot of people liked about Megyn Kelly was her ability to converse, the fact that she was conservative for the most part.
Right.
And so when you look at the fact that now she's just this stilted journalist, and I put that in quotation marks, this stilted journalist, she doesn't have the ability to show that sassy personality that I think a lot of people liked on Fox.
And the extension of grace.
Yes.
You know, that comes with it. You know, we had a conversation off the air about personalities on this radio station, and it's interesting, and it happened with Gwen, and it happens with Pamela. Our listeners are very chivalrous and defensive, like of Pamela.
Yes.
You know, they'll side with her against us all the time, which we love because we're her big brothers. And so we kind of root for her, and we love that you stick up for her, even though we're just all having fun. That won't be extended to her at the major networks.
No.
All right. So I want to say this statement up front before I say anything else so nobody misses it. I think Fox has lost a bit losing her, and I'm going to prove that in this segment. And I think she's lost her entire career by leaving. All right. But there is something very simple here to fix. And so I call in Dan because this is what he does for a living. So you're now the program director of Fox.
Okay.
Got a lot better looking employees, I might add. Oh, by the way, Shep would like to go to lunch. No. All right. So you're now the program director of Fox News.
Yes.
And you're looking at your ratings. In the 7 Central, I'm going to use everything Eastern from now on. In the 8 o'clock Eastern, you got a real hit in Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
He is number one and by a long shot. All right. So in 25 to 54, he has 588,000 viewers. All right. You lost nothing. You found a real star. He's the real deal. All right. You know you lost O'Reilly, and you know you lost Megyn Kelly, but you know you got a really good find in Tucker. Great. Next closest is CNN with 506,000. MSNBC, 490,000 headline news. Nothing. 78,000. It's funny when you think of these major networks having less viewers than we have listeners.
Yeah.
And we're in one city.
I know. It's crazy.
Now we go to the 9 o'clock hour. Now you have the 5. This is what you were thrust into because you lost Bill O'Reilly due to a controversy. Now you're not in the lead. And now you're getting killed. I have to say this for Rachel Maddow. She is certainly the face of leftist politics.
Yes.
There's no question about it. The Hayes hour at 8 o'clock is 490,000 viewers. Rachel Maddow jumps to 743,000. Now, I think it also speaks to the failures in that life group of Anderson Cooper, because Cooper's down to 435,000. I think a lot of people, you know, they have flocked to CNN post Hillary's failure, and they have flocked to Rachel Maddow. And I think probably especially an advantage to Maddow in that she was not the Hillary perceived product. She was the Obama perceived product, which I might be overanalyzing and boring people, but I can explain her success. But here's the problem for Fox. You lose Megyn Kelly, you lose Bill O'Reilly in the same year, and you got one star, Tucker Carlson, and one old star in Sean Hannity. Look at how Sean Hannity takes the 511,000 in the 9 o'clock hour from the 5 and brings it to 678,000. He does from 9 to 10 o'clock what Rachel Maddow accomplishes from 8 to 9. There's no lead in. They are the stars. So there's no question about it. Hannity is your biggest star now and your oldest star. Tucker Carlson is your new star. And the 5 is clearly not working. You're getting beat by 250,000 viewers in the 9 o'clock hour. How long do you stare at that, not do something? And am I the only one that sees the fix?
To me, the fix would, we can talk about the fix first, expand Tucker Carlson to 2 hours or make Hannity a couple of hours. Because you're dealing with the 5, which I'm assuming you're talking about a lot of producers, you're talking about a lot of on-air salaries. So just from a budgetary standpoint, and we may be getting into nuts and bolts here, but to me, it's a very easy fix because you either extend one of the two stars, Hannity or Tucker Carlson, or figure out somebody else who is Tucker Carlson-like.
Not bad. Let me do one other. By the way, and may I say, Anderson Cooper is 2 hours. So this would not be competitively unprecedented. May I also say that Anderson Cooper, his 8 o'clock hour and 9 o'clock hour is the lowest viewed, with the 5 right after that. What are the highest viewed? Rachel Maddow, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson. Anybody see the simple math there? They're not buying these cast shows, these ensemble shows.
And that's what I was
They're buying a single personality.
And that's what I other thing I was going to say was when you look at the five and you look at some of these other programs where you've got all these different people that are screaming at each other all the time, and that's less so with the five because there's four that are conservative and one that is liberal. But when you have, as you say, these ensemble shows, there's too much screaming back and forth. There's too much inside jokes. I love Greg Gutfeld, for example. I really do. But there are times when they're trying to out-humor each other and out-irreverence each other. And so it gets to the point where I don't get anything from the program.
I will tell you this. At some point, and I used to work the floor below him when I was at WNTR in Washington, D.C., and he was at WRC two floors up. This is me trying to be super clever. I would, first of all, move it very early. So I would at least move Tucker Carlson right up against Rachel Maddow or Sean Hannity down to be right up against Rachel Maddow. And if I did keep any of the five, I would take the Democrat and the Republic and bring back a crossfire type two personality back and forth. And maybe in this climate of vitriol and violent disagreement, they could serve as a role model of how we can be passionate and principled about what we believe but disagree and actually find a functional way to entertainingly do that. Or isn't the simple fix, take Tucker Carlson and put him head-to-head the 2 hours against Anderson Cooper so he's there the second hour with an hour lead-in against Rachel Maddow and cut her off at her knees.
And to your point, what was Fox based on? Fox was built on Hannity and Combs, that format. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
This, too, in the news. What is Fox doing with their lower ratings? Dropping fair and balanced slogan in favor of another tagline. They've decided to go with smoking hot and unstable.
Oh, that's nice. Works.
All the legs you can see.
They're going to go with most watched, most trusted.
Okay.
And why did I do this segment with Dan Mandis? Because he came up with information fueled and opinion driven, and I like that even better.
There you go.
But fair and balanced, gone.
I think that's a massive mistake. You know why they're doing that? Because they think that it's too closely aligned with Roger Ailes. And my comment later today.
Nobody knows that. Fair and balanced.
But here's the other thing, though. They're letting go.
The biggest problem in the media today is bias, and there's no better line than fair and balanced.
And here's the thing, is that it doesn't make any sense that they are abandoning the tagline that they are, one, most famous for and harkens back to their most popular time. So in other words, why are you letting go of your past? Your past is, frankly, what was working for you. So all of a sudden now you're bringing up this rather milquetoast slogan when what they really need to do is go back to what made them what they are.
To me, I know I'm like the 17th best program director you know. I think we've determined that. I'd be chomping at the bit for that job. This is such an easy fix to restore. And what do they do? None of what we just said, right. And they're dropping a slogan that is golden.
Yep. Stupid.
And you know what I would do if I was MSNBC or CNN? Mm. I'd become fair and balanced.
There you go.
11:26 at Super Talk. So the show's going good?
Yes.
You're pleased with the show?
Absolutely.
You're not going to fire me because Marty left?
No. All right. Think we're going to be okay.
Right. And unlike Marty, you were able to follow the point I was making.
Yes, I totally got it. You were pointing out the absurdity and the hostility.
And I assume that you will not be showing up for your hit at 11:50. So today on the Dan Mandis Show?
You know, I'm going to talk to a woman who, and I'm getting all the details together now, but who has converted away from Islam. She's now an atheist, but she was raised in a Muslim household, very strict Muslim household. At 12:35, I'm going to speak to her about her journey away from Islam to becoming now an atheist.
And are you going to try to introduce her to Jesus Christ and convert her? Otherwise, Marty thinks you're blasphemous, I know. And even though he won't be listening to me, he might be listening to you.
It's a very short segment. I don't know if I'll have the time.
The Dan Mandis Show is next, noon to 3 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Traffic and Weather Together is next. Ken Weaver in the newsroom with all your latest top stories. And because we're getting thunderstorms downtown, a complete look at your forecast straight ahead. It's 11:27. We're going to do Paul Winkler after. Information-fueled, opinion-driven, that's Super Talk. I am your Super Talker, Michael Del Giorno, on this Thursday, June the 15th. Downtown, heavy thunderstorms and a cool 73 degrees on our way to a high today of 91. Sounds even up the series with the Cubbies, 6-1 last night. They'll play another tonight, 7:05, First Tennessee Park. It's Throwback Thursday. Throwback uniforms and throwback prices on Coca-Cola products and select Bud prices. We even have a sounds flag for the first 2,000 fans if you take in the game. It's been announced that Floyd Mayweather Jr. will come out of retirement to fight UFC star Conor McGregor. They'll use boxing rules and they'll fight in Vegas on August the 26th. LA is going to be honoring Batman's Adam West with the Batman lights in Hollywood and Los Angeles. And the Bill Cosby jury enters its fourth day of deliberations in Philadelphia, still with no verdict. Helen Hunt turns 54 today. Most of the stars are my age today. Courtney Cox, 53. I'll never forget how cute,
wow,
how cute she was in that Bruce Springsteen video.
She's really had some bad work done, too, I think.
I love James more than I did John, and I loved John. James Belushi, 63 years old today, and the original Doogie, not to be confused with our Doogie in the morning doing traffic, Neil Patrick Harris, 44. And happy birthday if it's your birthday today. Things that are in the news that aren't necessarily related to the shooting yesterday. We start with Jim Nance, who will not be doing the U.S. Open. It's an NBC broadcast.
Rats.
But that can't keep Jim away from still slipping on a nicely fresh pair of iron slacks, a CBS sport coat, to come on and tell you that Ricky Fowler, 6 under par after 12, leads the U.S. Open.
Hey, way to go, Ricky.
In the rolling hills of Wisconsin. Wouldn't it be funny if one of those Wisconsin Dell half boat, half buses just went plowing into one of the water hazards just to prove everything floats? They take their milk and dairy very serious in Wisconsin. I'll never forget in Milwaukee at a manager's meeting. I was having breakfast and a mother asked her son, would you like some fresh, delicious Wisconsin whole milk? And her son said, yes, mommy, I would. And she began breastfeeding him. Ricky Fowler, 6 under par after 12 holes. Tommy Fleetwood, along with Brian Harman and Patrick Reed, one back at 5 under. Ernie Els, the Big Easy. Could he have another U.S. Open in him? 4 under par after 9. Brooks Koepka. I just like to say Koepka. He's at 3 under par along with J.B. Holmes. Brandon Grace and Charlie Hoffman, who looks so much like the late Seymour Hoffman. 2 under par. Thomas Aiken, no relation to Troy. 2 under par. That household name, Michael Putnam, 2 under par. Angel Cabrera, the gentleman from Argentina, 2 under par through 10 holes. Drew Love, son of Davis Love III, at 1 under par. Yasuki Matsuyama, now 1 under par. Brant Snedeker, Snedzy, as we call him around the CBS booth, Snedzy at 1 under after 13. Little Jordan Spieth. Wow, has he gone bonkers. 1 under after his front 9. Or maybe Hadito Tarahashaka at 1 over. Or what about Hatongayahali? 1 over after 14. How about Hideki Matsuyama? 1 over after 12. I'm beginning to think that the Japanese players are all wanting to be near each other. Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from the competition. Could be a bad investment. I don't know. Little Jason Duffner. Oh, I liked him so much better fat. His shirt's still too small, and he's 2 over par. I'm scrolling down looking for a name I recognize. And I'm now 96 players. Mark Leishman. He'll tee off at 2:14 today. What about Bubba Watson? How tall is his wife? He'll tee off at 2:36. Adam Scott, the pride of London, 2:36. Bill Haas, 2:36. Sergio Garcia, 2:36. And I'll be teeing off at Forest Crossing at 2:42. Your early leaders at the U.S. Open in Wisconsin, Hartford, Wisconsin, with $12 million on the line. Tommy Fleetwood and Ricky Fowler. Fowler at 6 under. Emphasis on the Washington Post and emphasis on anonymous sources. Comes your story that Mueller is investigating the president on claims of obstruction, and this is more fabrication. Donald Trump's personal lawyer, and I don't think I can say it better than Mark, the FBI leak of information regarding the president is outrageous, inexcusable, and illegal. A UPS driver killed three of his coworkers, then himself, in San Francisco. AP reported that the gunman, 38-year-old Jimmy Lamb, had filed a grievance in March, saying that he was working too much overtime. Lamb reportedly appeared to specifically target three fellow drivers. He killed 50-year-old Benson Louie, 56-year-old Wayne Chan, and 46-year-old Mike Lafitte. Tragedy in San Francisco. And at least 12, although the number should rise dramatically, killed so far in the London high-rise fire. The expected death toll is to rise as fire investigators are now just beginning searching through the wreckage. Dozens were also injured, 18 of them critically. And the cause of the blaze, the 24-story building, is still being investigated, but tenants groups have been complaining for years about the risk of fire. The Federal Reserve, raised its key interest rate yesterday for the third time in 6 months, the latest indication of its confidence in the economy. The short-term rate was increased by a quarter of a point, bringing it to a still low range of 1% to 1.25. However, it could still lead to higher borrowing costs, and many of us predicted that the home interest rates will be at 5 by the end of the year. Some have said maybe even as high as 6 by the end of next year, and that creep continues upward. That is a good sign that the economy is improving and is in stable improvement, number one. And it's good news for those of you that are saving and the returns you'll get on savings. And we mentioned last half hour with Dan that Fox News has decided to drop its signature slogan, fair and balanced, in favor of another tagline. They did not go with my rumored one, which is smoking hot and unbalanced. They're going to go with most watched and most trusted. Well, it's at least more creative than depend on it, which I know I'm sick of. By the way, just when you think Donald Trump has low approval ratings, as he's in the 40s, how about Governor Christie? According to a new Quinnipiac University poll, it's the lowest of any New Jersey governor in history. I got to feel like it's got to be the lowest in any governor or politician. Well, not members of the House, that's for sure. But his approval rating is down to 15%. And ironically, his weight is up 15%. Email time! Email time to wrap this puppy up and go golfing. Suffer not thy emails unto thee.
Oh, we get letters.
We get your letters every day.
Bing bong!
Mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull
out. Carla, right on top.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
All right, big finish, big finish.
Mailman, mail today.
Carla writes, concerning road concern, we were having some fun about the bridges and how they'll only be, you know. I was like, hey, don't rush. Get the bridge right. She says, well, don't forget, they took their time with 840, and it's the worst piece of crap of road and bridges in the entire state. Maybe the southeast. Every time you cross a bridge, you're launched like a Dukes of Hazzard episode. I'm guessing that none of our state reps have ever driven it, or they would be filing a lawsuit against the contractor. 840 has gotten dismal reviews, that's for sure. Stephen writes, if Dan Mandis is still around, I don't know if this falls under his scope of responsibility or not, but feel free to pass it along. Running an emergency alert service test, even with a disclaimer at the beginning, during a thunderstorm is perhaps not the wisest decision. For what it's worth, when I lived in Western Arkansas, they tested tornado sirens only on Tuesdays and only when it was clear and sunny. I think we do our tests of sirens every Saturday at noon or 1, don't we?
Yeah.
Do it at a specific
time. Talking about the emergency alert that we have to run. We have to run weekly tests.
Yes, that is of course, to comply with the FCC. It is not optional, and nor does it have anything to do with weather. Now, do we even have a emergency weather theme?
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
Oh, the weather theme? I don't know. I have to look. I'm not sure if we do, as a matter of fact.
In Tulsa, when we had the bah, 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 sounders that used to go, but it didn't sound anything like an EAS test. But I will pass that on to Dan Mandis. But right now, we're busy solving Fox News Channel programming issues. Tim writes, unlike some listeners, I enjoy your humor and your Christianity. You don't let your relationship with Christ keep you stuffy and fake. While we've never met, I expect after 10 years of listening to you, you are exactly the person I hear on the radio every day. Well, I can assure you, Tim, a lot of people think this is for worse, not better. I am exactly off the air as I am on the air. Better or worse. Mike writes, to Marty, I, for one, will keep listening. You have a spiritual perspective that I cannot find anywhere else. Besides, Representative Scalise lives in Jefferson, Louisiana, right next to Metairie, and I love Southern Louisiana. My brother, but my best friend growing up lived in Jefferson, and my original school was in Jefferson. And yes, it is right next to Metairie. Tammy writes, I'm a Christian, but I also have a sense of humor. I think God has a sense of humor. I also enjoy the sexual relations that I have with my husband. God wants us to have a bit of joy. You know how that all started, by the way? I hate to interrupt her because she's one of my favorite listeners. But that actually started with, you know, gays are constantly always talking about their sexuality and nothing else. And, you know, heterosexuals never do. And so it started out as a joke. And then sometimes I'm just telling stories. I saw a shirt that says, I love Jesus. But I cuss a little. I need that shirt. I'm not proud of the fact that I cuss, and I'm not trying, and I am trying to do better, but sometimes the tongue just slips, perhaps more often than one. The guy's problem really wasn't with cussing. He didn't like what I described was on the shooter's Facebook page. I didn't put it there, nor did I celebrate it. I was trying to give everybody an idea of just how vile this person is, and the reaction to what he did that was supportive and promising more. It tells me that this type of violence directed towards conservatives, Trump, and Republicans is far from over. Anyway, thanks for the emails. Keep them coming, pro and con, to michael@997wtn.com. Cool downtown with rain, but your forecast, traffic, and weather together and top stories are next. I'll see you in the morning at 9.